I read an interesting fact the other day, and it's this. When a murder is committed, one of the first things that those who are investigating the murder consider is this. Who can gain from it financially? That's one of the leading questions they ask. Who could have gained from it financially? And the truth is that all over the world, right now, people are doing the most terrible things to get money. That's why we say money is the root of all evil. It's a quote from the Bible, or rather it's a misquote, probably the most misquoted Bible verse of all times. You see, in quoting it like that, what we've done is we've taken out a phrase that appears in the original, and that makes all the difference. Here's what the original actually says. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. This means that it's not really about the thing in itself. It's not really about the money. It's about our attitude towards it and the value we place upon it. So what we really need to consider is this. What did Jesus have to say about the love of money? Let's start, shall we, by having a look together at this story of the rich ruler. Now, as I look at that episode, that story, there are four things that really stand out to me. Four mistakes, if you like, that this rich ruler made. And the first mistake is the way in which he addresses Jesus. How he talks to Jesus, how he addresses Jesus, tells us an awful lot about who he believes that Jesus is. See, he comes up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher. Good teacher." Now, a lot of people today think that Jesus was just some kind of teacher. Just a good moral person. But of course, he's so much more than that. So Jesus picks him up on this with a question. "Good teacher," Jesus says, "why do you call me good? Only God is good." See, his question actually contains the answer in it, doesn't it? "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." And of course, that is exactly who this rich ruler is talking to. His first mistake is who he thinks Jesus is. You see, knowing Jesus as just a good moral teacher will never get you assurance of salvation. Hence his question. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What must I do?" That's his second mistake. What must I do? He thinks it's all about him. But actually, that's the whole point of the verses later on about the camel and the eye of the needle. Let me just remind you about that. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Answer, "No one by their own effort." Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." It's all about Jesus and about his grace. "What must I do?" says the rich ruler. Jesus then quotes some of the Ten Commandments to him. Those that deal with our relationships, one with another. It takes me back to a conversation that Jesus had on a separate occasion. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, Of all the commandments, Jesus, which is the most important? You'll find that in Mark chapter 12. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So now, coming back to this conversation with the rich ruler, he starts by getting him to think about that second group of commandments, the, if you like, the ones that deal with the horizontal elements, the relationships, one with another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. This rich young ruler, he replies that he's done all of these since he was a kid. Perhaps he thinks that keeping the commandments of God is child's play. I want you to note something. He hasn't just managed some of them. Oh no. He's managed all of them. He's managed to keep them all. And he's done it always. Hearing that, what's Jesus going to say? I mean, he knows that's not true. What's Jesus going to say to him? Well, he replies with a single sentence. Well, in that case, there's only one more thing you need to do. Sounds quite simple. Just one more thing. But it isn't simple, you see, because it gets right to the heart of the matter. And although it sounds like it's about money, I want to tell you that I don't think it is. It goes a lot deeper than that. There's only one more thing you've got to do then. If you've kept all the commandments since you were a kid, just one more thing to do. Easy peasy. Sell up, give it all to the poor, and come and follow me. That's all you need to do. And in a way, Jesus now goes on in that to talk about the first group of those commandments. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your money. This rich man has already stated that he is faultless regarding the loving his neighbor bit. So now, Jesus is prodding him a bit deeper about the loving God bit. But of course, the thing is this, that in asking the rich man to do this, all the commandments are summed up anyway. It's just put in a way that this man can get hold of. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you were poor and there was a rich man around, what would you have him do for you? If you love yourself enough to give yourself all the good things in life like this man did, then actually he should do the same for his neighbor, or at least make a provision for them. So this rich man's response to Jesus' invitation shows in reality he hadn't done all these things since childhood at all. Because if he had, what Jesus had asked him to do now wouldn't be a problem. My dad, who I mentioned last week, among his many pearls of wisdom, used to say this. Son, he said, at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. I remember him saying it. Son, he said, it all comes down to money. Now, it may look like he was right in the case of this rich ruler. But actually, he isn't. It doesn't. It doesn't come down to money at all. This whole thing is not about money. It comes down to the heart and who we love best. I love to watch babies develop. I remember my own first one, Rebecca, and they all develop the same way. It seems to me that one of the first things they get is these two ridiculous teeth on the bottom row. I mean, what are you supposed to do with two teeth sticking up on the bottom row? You can't sort of... I just think it's very funny. And the other thing that I love about the development, or loved about the development of our kids, is the first kind of sounds they make are what you call the dentals. So the first sound your kid will make is da, 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 like that. That's what they do, you see, which is great, because you see, you can be with the kid and with mum, and you can say, who do you love best, Rebecca, mummy or dada? Paul Welsh came up with a good one. He said, yeah, she should have said, yeah, and who do you want to change your nappy, mummy or dada? Anyway. Who do you love best? The truth is, actually, if you asked Rebecca now who she loves best, I expect she'd say that she loves Jane and me the same. She loves us both the same, and we both love her the same, as much as we possibly could love anybody. But that's not an answer that it's okay to give to Jesus. You see, Jesus and the things of this world are not the same. You can't love them both the same. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. You can't say both. So you see, there's a conscious choice to be made. On that day, we're told that this rich man went away, I think, poorer than the poor. He went away sad. His choice brought him no joy. C.K. Chesterton said this, who but a fool would not give what he could never keep to gain what he could never lose? Say that again. Who but a fool would not give what he could never keep to gain what he could never lose? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you know, when I read things like that where Jesus says, come and follow me, come, when I read things like this, I just think to myself, I wish I could have been there to answer the question. If only it could have been me who was there and Jesus was saying that to me, I'd have said, hey Jesus, I'm going to do it, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to give it all away. I wish that I'd been the one who Jesus had asked to follow him. Until I realize that Jesus is still asking. And I am the one. And so are you. The ones that he's asking. Who do you love best? You see, money isn't the root of all evil. Loving something more than Jesus is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of evil. Loving someone or something more than Jesus, that is the root of all evil. And what we spend our time and our energy and our emotion on, that's probably what we love best. And today, Jesus is saying to us, as he did then, that he must come first. Jesus must come first, before financial things, before social things, sports, shopping, relationships, golf, and everything else that you care to mention. None of those things are wrong in themselves. None of them. It's about our attitude to them and the value that we place upon them. Is it wrong for a Christian to be wealthy? No. No. As long as they honour God with their use of that money and the pursuing of it doesn't become their passion and their priority. It comes down to the question. Who do we love best? And does the evidence in my life back that up? In the book of Revelation, there's a letter written to the church of Ephesus, where the Lord tells them that they have lost their first love. This tells me that it's possible to do lots of the right things, and yet, over the passing of time, to lose our first love of Jesus. That is possible. Peter did. We're told, aren't we, that he denied Jesus 3 times. I never knew the man. Jesus who? Which is why, of course, after Jesus had risen, he came back and he said to Peter 3 times to balance that. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Forgiveness and restoration is always possible with Jesus. It was for Peter. It was for that rich ruler. It is possible for you and me today. So I ask this question. In your life, have other things, other priorities, other loves, in a small way begin to crowd out Jesus a bit? Because if that's the truth, and there's something or some things in your life and in my life that have crowded him out, that have just pushed him into second place, then why not come to him this morning? Come to him. He's waiting to renew and to restore you and to give you back that first love. Because the truth is that if you asked him who he loves best, he would say you.